This is the FCB Radio Network, home of the best personalities and where real talk lives. Online at FCBRadio.com. FCB. Is a fresh perspective with Jeff Charles on the FCB Radio Network.
I'm not going to be talking about politics today. It's not going to be political. We're going to talk about relationships, an area where I could stand to learn quite a bit. And I have with me one of my favorite Twitter follows, by the way. Her name is Miss Leila Thomasone. Did I pronounce the last name right?
Leila Thomasone. Yes, you got it right.
Oh, Leila. I thought it was Leila, like Eric Clapton.
Leila, like Sheila.
Oh, Sheila. Okay, I'm not going to. But yes, you are a relationship coach, or what? How would you define yourself?
Sure. Yeah, dating and relationship mentor, coach, whatever you want to call me, it's fine.
Awesome. Well, before we get into everything, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, about your business, what you do, just spill all the tea, sis.
Okay, sure. So yeah, for about 3 years now, I've been helping women and men with relationships, and dating in particular is kind of my passion. And what I love to do is help women get married, help women find the one. And I've, you know, like I said, I've helped men too, and I've helped married couples as well. But that was just sort of my niche, because that's where I came from, was like, how do you do this? I had a really bad marriage sort of right out of college, and, you know, thankfully have my beautiful girls as a result. But, you know, the patterns that were set up and set in motion, I didn't know how to break out of, and sort of just nerded out on the whole thing. Like, what am I missing? What does everybody know that I don't know? It just seemed like a total mystery of, you know, oh, well, I just met them and, you know, we were high school sweethearts. Like, nobody could tell me how this works. And, you know, so I just learned all about psychology, and I went to therapy myself. I had a dating coach myself, and all of it came together. And I was like, wow, I think there's like actually some key ingredients in a formula that I could help people put together and really understand what had been sabotaging them that they could change.
So, okay. So you learned a lot of different things, you know, through your experiences and through your study, but what was it that made you say, you know, I want to help people find the right one, or women or men, or like what brought you to that point?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Well, part of what I discovered was important in having a good relationship and finding that good relationship was to have good friends and community and network around you, and sort of mentor each other. Like, that's just a duty that we sort of have in general. And I feel like, you know, how do you, if you look at your life and you think about, how do I leave the world a better place than it was when I, you know, got here? Like, what could I do to contribute? I mean, you kind of just have to take your story and make it into something that other people can learn from. Like, if you can give them sort of the shortcuts you wish you had known and no one taught you, then you're really contributing and sort of just building on that wisdom that I feel like a lot of us are missing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, because my experience has been similar to yours, you know, coming out of a not so good marriage and, you know, wishing that I knew back when I was younger what I know now, and wishing I had those shortcuts. And mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people could benefit from that, especially, you know, nowadays when, you know, the culture has a very different, I'll say different message on relationships and families and things like that than what a lot of us came up with. So let me ask you this. When people are trying to find a mate, what do you see as the number one, or maybe even the top three mistakes that people make when they're trying to enter into this world?
Okay. Well, sort of continuing on, you know, where we've started the discussion on sort of like passing down wisdom. I mean, just at least in my experience, I'm not sure if it mirrors yours exactly, but You know, like my parents and previous generations, they did sort of have some secret sauce that we didn't know. And they didn't, like, they may have set a good example in some cases, others not. But my parents set a good example, but couldn't tell me why. And so I think one big mistake that you know, young people and, you know, single people in general these days are making is to disregard what the past can teach us. Like if we just throw all that out, like that's sort of the big thing now, is like just question everything. Like words have no meaning. Like you can just make up your own reality, right? And you know, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. Like what sets people, you know, humans apart from other species is that we can pass down our knowledge and we can explain things to each other. Mm-hmm. And so disregarding that and all the wisdom that is even stored in our bodies, like, you know, all the history, all the biology, all of that. If you think you're gonna just rewrite your own book on relationships, like you're probably gonna go wrong there. So I guess I would put that at the top of the list. So it'd be like thinking that tradition and history has nothing to teach us.
Yeah, that's a very interesting answer. Cause honestly, when I asked that question, here's what I expected to hear. I expected to hear something like, you know, you'll find the right one when you're not looking for them, or work on yourself. And I'm not knocking those answers. I think that the truth, there's a lot of truth to that. But that, I mean, that gives you people a lot to think about. I mean, the divorce rate wasn't always 1,000,000% like it is right now. I mean, there were times where most couples stayed together. And even in today's day and age, there are a lot of couples that stay together. And it would benefit to see what they did to make the, I mean, and I know a lot of times people can't really explain it, but some people can. Some people are very good at articulating how they and their spouse were able to stay together, how they handle arguments, disagreements, and all that stuff. And I think that's a good starting point. Like, figure out how people, learn from the people who did it right.
Yes. Yes, put yourself around people that have what you want to have. And even if they can't explain it to you, you can still emulate them and you can still kind of picture yourself like in their shoes and going, well, what would they do in this situation and how would they act? So that is a great step. And I heard all of that advice, like you said, you know, just stop looking and then it'll happen, or just like, you know, you have to love yourself first. And like, there's always a nugget of truth to those things, but they're not necessarily all that helpful in and of themselves. Like you kind of got to go a little bit deeper there.
Yeah, you do. I mean, and so here's a question. I mean, dating nowadays isn't like it was when, you know, we were 20. I think we're about the same age. And I feel like I dodged a bullet, honestly, because I didn't have to do a whole lot of dating before I found the one that I wanted. But how do you think the culture influences a lot of the issues that we see on the dating scene right now? Or today's culture, I would say.
Yeah, today's culture has a huge impact on relationships. It really does. And, you know, I want to be careful when I, you know, talk about these things, because like, people can tend to use like culture and the West and like, you know, whatever, modern women, like as an excuse, like why they can't get relationships right. And it's not an excuse. We can definitely learn from other times, but that doesn't mean that there are no good people out there. There definitely are. And it's just the way that you go about it. For one thing, you know, what was different in the past is that we were encouraged to date for marriage. Like dating was all about marriage. And these days it's not. Like, what is dating? It's, you know, what is it? You just like put your own definition on it. People put a lot of assumptions behind it. They don't even talk to the person they're dating about what it means. Now, I'm not saying you should, you know, hash that out on the first date or anything, but, but there were rules, and that is, you know, no one likes to hear about rules these days, but they really, really do actually give you a lot of freedom when you understand what the constraints are. And then it's like, oh, like it just like the light opens up in the sky, like, oh, okay, I get it now. because it, like I said, it used to always just be about marriage, and it happened a lot sooner when you still lived at home with your parents, and they could kind of be that protective, you know, eye behind you. And so that's why, like, I even have a niche now, is because our parents aren't doing that, and they didn't do that. And so that's what I provide, is like what, and I do have teenage daughters, so I kind of, you know, I have like two different perspectives on it. It's like, I know what works for my clients, and I know what I'm trying to do with my girls, and it's a little bit different because I'm still there. They live at home with me. And when I have adult clients, then I need to like kind of step in and bring that wisdom to them that they don't have anymore. So yeah, like that time gap between, you know, when you lived at home with your parents versus trying to get your act together as a grown adult in your 20s and 30s or later even, then, you know, that's, there's so much that happens in that time span that I think gets us really, really off track.
Yeah, it does. And I think you're right. I think in a lot of ways, we have moved away from dating with an eye towards marriage. Why do you think that happened? Or how did that happen?
Well, I thought we weren't going to get political.
We get a little political.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to put conspiracy theorists under my Twitter name, but
you can blame it on me. I'll put on the tinfoil hat.
Right. I mean, there's always been negative forces, right? There's always been those that want to undermine, you know, the institutions that have gotten us where they've gotten us, you know? And so I guess that, you know, I don't know if that really answers your question. Like, there's just always been like some variation in, you know, not everyone would get married. Not everyone would have children. There's always been exceptions, you know, sure. There's been nunneries, and there's, you know, you know, prostitutes, like criminals, everything. But nowadays with social media and the internet, now it's so easy to make it seem, I mean, commercials, like the normalization thing happens where you think, at least some of us think, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be that boss babe and that, you know, that grind set mentality. And I mean, so many factors, but yeah, I think it's just all kind of come together to sort of try to get us to shun tradition and the family.
You know, I think you're right. I mean, I know what forces you're talking about, especially, and it's not just political. I mean, it's also in our entertainment, in our
yeah. culture.
I'm going to try to ask this question the right way. Do you think that maybe there's also like just a change in how we think, though, or maybe like on a spiritual level, like why we have pulled away? Because I think a lot of this is spiritual. I mean, finding the right mate is a spiritual type of thing, because you have a spiritual bond with one another. And it seems like people are kind of moved away from that, or maybe they don't. Maybe it's to the point where people don't even understand that anymore. I mean, am I making sense? I don't know.
Oh yeah, it is making sense to me. Yeah, I've recently started going back to church and really reading the Bible a lot, and a lot of it is because there's so much wisdom. Like I was finding wisdom in the Bible in my quest for good relationships. Like it just made sense. Like it just all went together and aligned. And yeah, there's just so much cynicism these days. Like if you are questioning like reality itself and you know, everything that's come before you and, you know, everyone around you, like can they even be good to me? Like can we have a connection? Like there's just so much negativity, like that if I've been burned, if I've been hurt, then that means that there's no hope for a spiritual connection with someone, that really I'm just alone on an island. And it's weird that it's like we've got these pulls to be like everyone else in certain ways, but also, and this is where I think like the rules and the constraints kind of bring us together in a way, and they remind us that we are very, very similar. We have a lot of similarities, and people have been where you are now. And so you're not alone on an island. We are social creatures. And, you know, what works for others can work for you too. I think that can be a big barrier for people who want to change and improve their lives, is that they have this mindset that, oh, well, no one understands where I am and what I've been through and, you know, the hardships I'm facing. They just don't get it. But we get it. We've been there. Like, that they're like, it's not, there's no new stories really in humanity. We're all just flowing along the same stream that everyone else has. And I think there's some comfort to that.
You know, there is. I mean, because you're describing what I went through. I mean, because anybody who's followed me for a while knows that I was very much bitter and against the idea of ever getting married again. But
I was too.
Yeah, I mean, and it's understandable. I mean, especially if it was painful, then why would you want to risk putting yourself through that again? So let me ask you this, and if this is too personal, you don't have to answer, but how did you overcome that? I mean, how did you come out of that mindset?
Mm-hmm. Well, which one in particular, like the special snowflake, nobody can help me kind of mindset, or, well, I guess I have a pretty simple answer to that, is that I had my girls. Like I probably would have given up if it weren't for them. Like it's too easy to just be like, you know, I'll just float along. I'll just tread water. Like whatever I'm doing that is keeping me afloat, I'll just keep doing it. But my girls and the combination of, you know, what they went through with my divorce, which was very, very hard on them. There was a huge like custody battle. Like it just went on and on and on for years. And what I saw, or what I realized, with the help of therapy and coaches, was that I needed to set the example that I wanted them to follow, that I couldn't just leave them, directionless and rudderless. And that, you know, that's pretty scary to me. Thank God that I am remarried and have my wonderful husband now. Mm-hmm. Now that my girls are dating, because wow, to go out into the dating world without any, like without that example, to like that your parents haven't even figured it out yet.
Right.
Oh my gosh, that scares me. And that is what, had, you know, I knew I needed to break out of the victim mindset, and that, that it was hopeless, and that, you know, it just is what it is, or whatever, you know, like that cynicism, that I knew I needed to set an example for them.
That makes sense. And it's good, because I mean, now they have an example of doing a relationship right. So that's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. When it comes to like, say your clients or people that you or friends or whoever you're giving advice to and helping them through this process, how often do you have to help them unlearn the wrong things that they, I mean, I guess we all have things that we've learned wrong, but mm-hmm. when it comes to what we were talking about before with the whole, what was I, my brain's not working right now. you know, with the idea that people aren't dating to be married, they're just dating to date. How do you get them to kind of, or how often do you have to get them out of that mode of thinking? Or do you, or are they already ready when they come to you and they've realized what they've been thinking was wrong?
Yeah, usually when they come to me, they know they want to get married. It might be really, really hard for them to admit. And I guess I'm really biased, because I think just everybody should get married, and they all want to get married deep down, and all I have to do is just uncover that. Yeah. They are motivated. They have to be, you know, because they have to invest a lot of energy and commitment into the process. So I'm not in the business of like changing everyone's mind or anything, but I just feel like people are drawn to me who, for a reason, that they want something that they see in what I'm doing. And yeah, you have to rewrite those negative patterns. They won't go away on their own. Like I was just on like a personal training call talking about the myelin in our neurons and our neural networks and how all that works. And you know, I kind of know these things, but just it's always fascinating to really just understand how we work as humans. Mm-hmm. And your body builds those pathways and strengthens them as you use them and practice them. So whatever you think and whatever you do in your relationships, you're building the future of what you're going to keep doing. And so if you want to rebuild that and change it, it's going to take some work, and you're really going to have to have some really good substitutes. And that's kind of, I think, one thing that I do that sets me apart a little bit is that it's not just about learning something. It's not just about, changing your mindset. Like if you just believe your, law of attraction, that kind of thing, not that there's anything wrong with that, but that what I think that you need in addition to that is to actually go out and do some things that mm-hmm. may not feel comfortable. You may not be convinced that it's going to have any impact whatsoever. But if you go out there and do it and take those steps and walk through it, then your body like learns that, oh, okay, we can do this. And
rewire your brain.
It does. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because the only way to reverse a bad mindset or a bad way of thinking is to do something. It's not just a matter of just thinking better. It's a matter of doing better too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything we say to ourselves and to everyone around us, if you're on the internet bitching and moaning, sorry, I have a language about, about the opposite sex.
I feel personally attacked. Oh, wait, no, I don't complain about that. I complain about politics. Okay, so I'm good.
Oh, you're good.
I don't complain about the opposite sex.
Yeah, I can't even say the word sex anymore. I have to put an asterisk there.
You have to censor that.
But yeah, you're drawing more of that to you. You're really perpetuating your situation, and that's not going to find you what you want. You're pushing it away when you're saying all men are pigs or dogs or whatever, and all women or whatever, then you're writing your own history or your own future, I guess.
Like self-fulfilling prophecy.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's just how that works.
Yeah. So I want to, something that is always fascinating about watching you on Twitter is the backlash you receive. Like, and I'm looking at this stuff and I'm like, And actually, I think this may have been why I wanted to interview you, because I got mm-hmm. just some of the things you say just seem so common sense. And I'm like, if this is common sense to me, and I am an expert on how to do these things the wrong way, how to do relationships wrong, then what hope do we have? I mean, because it's like, for instance, like you had posted about women being available for the sexual needs of their husbands and all that stuff. Very simple. Just like, you know, a husband needs to be available sexually or even emotionally for his wife when she needs to vent, even if he doesn't feel like it. That seems like common sense. Why do you think that you got a huge backlash to that? I'm like, wow, like, this is crazy. Why do you think that people responded so emotionally to that?
Well, funny, just to answer your own, like, why do you think that's common sense when you like you aren't even an expert or anything? Mm-hmm. Well, one thing is because you're a guy, and so you aren't emotionally wrapped up in that way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And obviously women have, it's pretty obvious, women have some strong emotions that we can get carried away with sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you hit that nerve that just triggers people that they feel attacked, they're going to go off. And the thing that, to put it in like a little bit less emotional terms, because I know, you know, sex, like, obviously there, you know, abuse exists. Yep. You know, I don't want anybody to be abused or hurt and in marriage or otherwise, but I just want to give a different perspective and back up a little bit and let people know that there's a whole realm out there that you're not, you know, mostly women don't realize that in a marriage, like what I talk about and what I have with my husband and how he's the leader and the decision maker, and that, you know, that I take pride in like a surrendered or submissive sort of role, that they don't, they get triggered by those words and don't realize that they don't realize that he makes decisions that give me what I want, that you actually, you know, get what you want in this kind of relationship. And I'm not trying to hurt people. I'm not trying to, you know, make people miserable, especially women. I'm actually showing them how to get what they want. And it's not that like transactional, oh, you trade sex for money. No, come on.
Right, right.
That's not it. No, it's that we have natural roles that, and when you ask like, what are like the top, you know, few things that people get wrong in relationships, I would add to that is like knowing about masculinity and femininity and polarity, and what that just means is that wherever you are on a spectrum of masculinity versus femininity, if you're far on one side, you're going to attract someone who's far on the other side. If you're in the middle, you're going to attract someone who's in the middle, and it's going to be kind of a weak attraction if you know how magnets work. but if you're polar opposites, that's a strong attraction. And you know, all these boss babes out there, not all of them 100%, but many, many, many of them want a strong man, and they don't see that what they're doing is emulating the masculine, hoping it will attract the masculine, and that is not how this works. And there's no reason for a strong masculine man to take on a strong independent woman. Like, okay, I have nothing wrong with, you know, nothing against being strong, but if you don't need a man, if you are difficult to get along with, why is he going to bother? He's going to go for a soft feminine woman that gives him all the beauty and sweetness that he's looking for in life. I'm sorry, but that's just how it works. And, you know, I want to help these women get what they want and show them they can attract a strong masculine man if they can tap into polarity, tap into their femininity. And it really does make everyone just get along so much better.
I agree. I mean, and yeah, definitely, that's definitely important. I've got some more questions on that, especially when it concerns tapping into femininity and masculinity.
These days, it seems like everybody's talking, but no one is actually listening to the things they're saying. Critical thinking isn't dead, but it's definitely low on oxygen. Join me, Kira Davis, on Just Listen to Yourself every week as we reason through issues big and small, critique our own ideas, and learn to draw our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Subscribe to Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis and FCB Radio Podcast on Apple, on Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to let y'all know about a new documentary that's coming out, produced by FCB Network, which is where you're listening to my podcast. And it's about something that a lot of us have talked about, especially when it comes to the Black Lives Matter movement versus Black Lives Matter, the organization, specifically the global organization. Definitely want to check out this documentary. It's already got a few of the parts out already, so definitely check it out. And basically, you can watch what happens as violence erupts and Black leaders who are trying to fix the issue run into roadblocks from those who want to profit from Black pain. So if you want to check that out, check out BLM Aftermath Cleveland. Search for BLM Aftermath Cleveland on YouTube, or you can go to BLMAftermath.com. That's BLMAftermath.com. And you can see what kind of went down there. I mean, some of you already know this, but you'll see that the Black Lives Matter organization isn't exactly doing what it says it does for Black people. So you brought up femininity and masculinity, and I was planning to go here anyway. So I don't appreciate you reading my mind to see what I want to talk about next, but I'll forgive it in this instance. So it seems to me that there are cultural, maybe not so much political, but more cultural forces that want to move us towards being more androgynous. Like you said, there's the spectrum, right? And to me, it's like they demonize men for being masculine. They even put the word toxic in front of it. And then women who are more effeminate or feminine are encouraged to be more masculine. How do you think, because I really believe that this accounts for a lot of the problems in relationships that we're seeing today. I would even go so far as to say that it accounts for a lot of the divorces that we see. How do you think that it impacts our relationships?
Being driven towards the middle. Well, I guess more than anything is the like concealment of this. Like, it's not even that you have to be a certain way to be feminine or be masculine, but if you're aware, like just understanding that like our work week is set up for men, it's set up for masculine energy, like to be the same on a Monday as you are on a Friday and the same at 8 a.m. as you are at 5 p.m. Like that is all, you know, set up to accommodate masculine energy. And when we are on, you know, that schedule as women, we're tapping into our masculine energy and we're getting exhausted. And there's nothing wrong with us for being exhausted. Like that's normal. And just understanding what is normal feminine, you know, energy and behavior and characteristics, and what is normal masculine energy and behavior and characteristics, could illuminate so much of the issues that we're having, because we're like trying to suppress our own physiology and our own spirituality even, and by covering that up and pretending that it doesn't exist. So even before you try to like force yourself into a certain box, like just be aware of, you know, where you're most comfortable, where you feel more like yourself. And if you follow that and you acknowledge like there's nothing wrong with me for being emotional or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, like by denying our own tendencies, we're just creating a firestorm of, you know, conflict in our relationships. And so I think just being aware of that we're normal most of the time could help so much on that front. I don't know if I really answered your question.
No, I think you did. And it kind of ties into what I'm going to ask next. I mean, because I was talking to Noah Ravoy on my podcast a few weeks ago, and we were talking mostly about masculinity, but we actually talked about this dichotomy as well. And my question, and I think I may have asked you this on Twitter, but from what you've seen, what are the reasons why so many women kind of push back on the idea of being feminine? Because I think I've even seen you get criticized for even suggesting something like that. Like, why is there such a pushback on that?
You're asking hard questions. Noah was my dating coach, by the way.
Oh, really?
He's a good friend. Yeah, he's great.
I didn't know he was your coach. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the thick of it with me when I met Derek, and you know, sending him screenshots and like, you know, trying to figure out what was happening and stuff. But yeah, I guess what I'm more able to answer would be like why why it works. Like,
let me rephrase it. Like, say when you have female clients and you notice that they're maybe afraid or just averse to the idea of embracing their femininity.
Yeah.
From what you've seen with the people that you interact with, if you can give me an idea of why that is.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. So what I hear a lot is that they feel that they may be betraying themselves. They're afraid of, well, if I change something about myself to be more feminine or whatever, then I'm betraying who I really am. And that's their impression. Like that's what they think is going on. But usually like what people give as their reasons, like the real reasons is underneath that. And, the way I answer that is that are we only our behavior patterns or are we also our choices too? And what ratio of yourself do you want to be by choice versus by ingrained pattern that was set up before you were even aware of it and probably set up by people that didn't lead a life that you want to emulate? You know, if we had a traumatic childhood, if we had, hard, upbringing, and maybe aren't on good terms with our parents or they're divorced or whatever the situation is, do we really want to claim this is me for the patterns that they set in motion? Or do we want to take control and say, I am also my choices and I can choose different patterns. And that would actually be like more me if I chose it consciously. And so I think that helps release that fear of I would be betraying myself if I try to change things. But people are just sort of like on guard of, rightfully, of, being swindled and being manipulated. And, they don't want to be talked into doing something that would be sort of a self-betrayal. And I admire that. That's, that's understandable caution.
Yeah.
And what I love about what I do is when people come back to me and say, I feel so much more like myself now that I'm, doing these things. And I, it's crazy to me that I even took on the roles and the behaviors that I had before, where I was sort of like trying to prove myself all the time and trying to, put something out there that wasn't really genuine. And now I feel like more in alignment.
Hmm. So it's almost like, training yourself to be more feminine is more who you are than trying to be masculine. It's almost like men and women are different. Mila, are you saying that men and women are different?
You're crazy. I would never say that. No.
You better not. when you were talking, though, it kind of reminded me, it brought to my mind, the topic of submission, because that's also a very hot button issue, especially when we're talking about femininity. And you're talking about not wanting to be, taken advantage of and things like that. And a lot of people associate being submissive with letting a man take advantage of them, things like that. And I'm sure you've had clients who may have had similar type of viewpoint on that. How do you usually take that on, or how do you address that?
Definitely. Well, so like I said, I kind of came around to like a biblical, like traditional way of looking at marriage as a result of finding relationship advice that actually works. But not all my clients like have a Christian perspective. Some of them do, some of them don't. But I can identify with each side, because I was very much an atheist and I was very much into just like logic and philosophy and just pragmatic, wanted to figure out what worked. It's really hard to deny, even for the boss babes out there, that they want a masculine man. So it's like, it's pretty obvious they know men and women are different. But in sort of the secular perspective, I would call it surrendering. And it has a lot to do with surrender. Like you could call it surrendering to reality. You could call it surrendering to the universe. It's surrendering to, you know, what you know works intellectually, even if it's not felt like you haven't tried it before. You haven't really felt it out before, but you can surrender to giving it a try. But if you are a Christian and you are trying to live biblically, mm-hmm. that's what the Bible calls us to do, is submit. And it doesn't, you know, it's really interesting to see which parts of the Bible are speaking to men versus speaking to women. And, you know, I don't know if this is going too far. I'm no biblical scholar, but.
No, keep going.
Like, you know, when you mention like being taken advantage of or being abused, or like the doormat perspective that people have of like a submissive wife, it kind of reminds me of the verse of the love is patient, love is kind, love is never jealous, that kind of thing. And that didn't necessarily ring true for me hearing it all growing up. Like, and I wonder if it would ring true for women who've been taken advantage of. It's like, oh, I'm supposed to forgive like everything. I'm just supposed to forget and pretend that, you know, he didn't just go spend all our money on a motorcycle or something. But my interpretation is that the Bible calls men to love their wives, women to submit. So the loving part of it doesn't necessarily apply as much if you're talking about biblical roles, mm-hmm. in my mind. Anyway, and so where I'm going with this is that if you believe in a submissive, surrendered role as a wife, you also believe that you have to pair that together with he's strong and decisive and a leader, and therefore I do not need to hold back from the concerns and fears and needs that I have, or desires, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I don't need to hold back on that. I need to be honest with him about that so that he can make full, complete decisions. Right. And I think that's where a lot of women who go wrong on like the codependent side of things is, okay, you're the boss, I'll do what you say. They don't give full disclosure of, this is what my needs are, this is what I want in the relationship, and these are my fears about whatever is happening. They hold that back and they think, I you know, that's not my role, I can't do that. Well, if he's really the strong leader that would, you know, go along with, would, you know, pair up with a submissive wife, like you can't have one without the other, then he also needs to hear the honest truth. And that is a really, like, you need to bring that to the relationship as the wife. You need to bring,
you got to help him lead, really.
Yes, exactly. A full vision. And that, you know, the men that I know of, the good husbands that I know of, my husband included, are very, very, they're just extremely thankful for hearing that from their wives. And they feel like there's a huge void when that's not there.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's interesting because, with my experience, I mean, with my lady now, I mean, she does submit, and it is so weird to me because I've never experienced it before. And I'm like, wait, what are you doing here? Like, and I'm like, and she'll say things like, you know, you take the lead, you know, I'll follow whatever, you know, what you say. And I'm like, why? And I'm like, but what I realize is that her femininity brings out more of my masculinity. It makes me want to be more of that. And it's just, it's such a different type of experience. And to me, it helps me to lead her better because she does that. She'll say what she, you know, what she wants and, you know, what she's dealing with or what she's afraid of, you know, in whatever situation, but she'll follow my lead on these things. And it's foreign to me, but then it's like, it makes me better at doing it. And so it's hard to explain, but it's like,
no, I know. Yeah. But I love hearing that. And it's a lot. Yeah. What you're saying is it's a lot of responsibility. Like, you actually do have to be strong and courageous to lead. And it's a muscle that you're building and working on and growing. So it is a partnership that both sides play a big role. Like, you're not being a doormat. You're not in, you know, erasing yourself, that would not be the actual partnership that we're trying to talk about with these roles.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and for my part, I mean, I'm not going to do anything or make any decision that I think is going to hurt her. So, I mean, it's okay for her to have that level of submission. It's nice. It feels natural. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. You know, like when we were talking before about women being more feminine and finding out that that's more natural for them to do that, it just feels natural. And it's almost like it feeds off each other. The more feminine she is, the more masculine I want to be. And then the more feminine she wants to be, it's a cool cycle. And
I have a catchy tweet on that subject. The more Chad you are, the more trad she'll be.
I love that. I'm going to tweet that after we're done here. Don't we all? But that is so true. That's true. And I think it's sad. Now that I've experienced it, I think it's sad that we've lost a lot of that. And I wish that we can get a lot. And I think there is a movement to get a lot of that stuff back. Because I think people are seeing that the paradigm shift that happened a while ago where, you know, men were expected to be more feminine, women were expected to be more masculine. I think people are slowly seeing that that's not working. It just doesn't work. I mean, is that something you're seeing too?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard kind of whisperings of that, like that's, there is sort of like a more conservative movement, and conservative meaning like in the cultural sense, from young people. And I see that in where I am, which is kind of ruralish, suburban-y, in Virginia. And, you know, my girls in their, you know, school, I can see that. And even like the social media they look at, you know, if you're like, sorry, it's a dirty word, but TikTok, like if you go on there and like you feed the algorithm with like your conservative interests, like you're going to see a lot of young people who are, I mean, come on, Instagram, like all of that is like obsessed with femininity. And it's just, it's so crazy to like deny that that's normal and natural for us to want that. But yeah, I think that makes sense that there would be a pushback for any movement, that it just sort of ebbs and flows.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm glad to see it. I mean, I think it's going to be happening more, but I'm glad to see the starting. So let me ask you this. So if somebody who is in a similar position to what you were and what I've experienced, like somebody who's divorced and they're thinking about entering into a new relationship, or maybe they met somebody, what would be like the most important piece of advice that you would give to somebody who is maybe entering into a new relationship after getting divorced?
Mm-hmm. Well, if I could only give one piece of information or advice, well, the big overarching one of the themes is that you do need to be true to yourself and genuine, and that is not as easy as it sounds. It's not as simple as, you know, as the words sound, but it is possible to build that connection, which was huge for me going through therapy and getting my life in order, that you really can feel, like you just said, that it feels more natural when you try out, you know, this more like gender specific role, that you really need to be in touch with what your gut is telling you when you're dating. We really know. I mean, I'll analyze with my clients dates that they've been on, and they're like, I just don't know what happened. I thought it was going so well and blah, blah, blah. And then he texted me that it's not a match or whatever. And, you know, we'll dig in. And I love this work, to go moment by moment. How did you feel? What were you experiencing? And they know the exact moment that that date went wrong and that they deviated from what would have been a genuine expression of their experience. And they went into sort of a caricature or a performance, like I need to act this way to keep their attention is a big one.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, so you can sense if you slow down, so slowing down is a big part of building this connection with your instincts. If you go slow enough, you will feel when you click into those old patterns versus what's really authentically where you want to go with like a conversation or an interaction.
Yeah, that is very interesting. I mean, because I mean, people can, you're right, people can tell when somebody else is being fake. I mean, usually you can. And yeah, that can be a turnoff if you feel like you're not getting the real person. That's interesting. What about, okay, so like with my situation, I never expected to meet the right one, but to me, like you mentioned, trusting your gut or your feelings. And I don't do that. I don't do that. Like, that's not who I am. I mean, and it's not just because I'm a dude. It's just because that's just how I think. Like, there has to be evidence and data, and I have to see all the stuff happen, and then I know it's the right thing. And all of that kind of flew out the window. Now, I'm not saying that the rationality isn't there, but it was just somewhere along the line. I just knew that she's it. Like, I'm like, and I felt it in here. I'm like, I don't want anybody else. She's it. And then after that, then it was like it just made sense. And I can list off all the rational reasons why, but it didn't it, I mean, that's not it may have been what led me there subconsciously, but I and so for me, it's like I could have really blown that by saying I can't trust my feelings. And that's scary for men. But what do you think of that? I mean, have you heard other people talk about it that way or
Well, I mean, our gut does contain and manufacture like so much information for us to work with that our conscious mind can't necessarily keep up with. And I mean, even like peripheral vision, like if you think about like you know, how you would know if you're in danger, like it's you would feel it
Right.
before you would understand what was happening. Like it would take you got to get down the road first, right? Like you got to get your ass out of there before you try to process what's happening. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of information processing that happens at some level that isn't necessarily fully conscious. And part of me thinks that men are better at that than women are, particularly in dating, because it's so, you know, we talk about masculine and feminine, and I think it's pretty well known that everyone contains masculine energy and feminine energy, whether you're male or female. But I think the ratios are different, that women can contain more masculine energy than men contain feminine energy. And by meeting the woman that stirs that in you, then that's much more noticeable than like a woman who can click into her masculine at any time. Like she actually needs to date more rationally than what she's probably doing, whereas men need to date more on gut instinct, in my experience.
That is very interesting too. Wow. Huh. I guess I never thought about it that way. But yeah, it makes perfect sense when you explain it, because I mean that's exactly what happened. But
Very cool.
yeah. So last question. So when it comes to everything that we talked about and everything that you've seen, and you're very active on Twitter, you see a lot of discussions. When it comes to relationships, what is it that, well, how do I want to rephrase this? What do you think is, the biggest obstacle that people are going to have to overcome to be able to have more productive and healthy and long-lasting relationships?
Well, I don't want to sound too repetitive, but it would probably be, or at least where my mind goes, is to, you know, just ingrain patterns that we aren't aware of or conscious of. And like I said, the slowing down is really, really helpful. I mean, because even though, like I say, that women should date more rationally, we tend to rationalize a whole lot after the fact, after we've already made decisions, and we don't really fully understand what's underlying those decisions. So I would say, where was I going with that? So uncovering those patterns that are beneath the surface, and to help overcome that, I really encourage people to make a list, which sounds kind of like a rule, but make a list of what you're looking for. Don't be stuck in that pattern of rationalizing after the fact, after you've already decided, like, I don't like this guy or I do like this guy. Make the list beforehand so that you can really compare. And that is difficult on the front end, because you want to get swept away, you know, you want to just be taken off and feel like it's great, have all the feelings. Yeah. But then once a certain amount of time has passed and you get to realize this is a real person and this is not what you made up in your mind, then you're going to start having some doubts. And that's when you need to go back.
You start farting and burping around you. You're going to be like,
Right. I mean, people are weird, especially guys. They do weird things. Yeah. And so that's when you need to go back to your list and remember what is truly important. And when I say list, I don't mean put height requirements and income requirements. I mean, figure out how are you going to get your needs met? If you want a strong masculine man, like, why? Because ask yourself why about everything you put on your list, and do that a few times so you get to the root of what you're really, really looking for. Like, I had a call with somebody and they were like, well, I put it that that, like, gardening is an interest of mine and he likes to garden, and so we're on the same page on that. And I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, but why? Why is gardening important? And it goes back to, like, self-sufficiency and feeling safe again. And so what you really want is a man who makes you feel safe, not a man who has some interest to you, if that makes sense.
Right. That may be how it manifests, but that's not the root. And there may be other ways that he can make you feel safe and self-sufficient as well.
Right. So when the feelings are getting muddy and you're not sure, like, how do I know if this is the right person or not? Then you've got that list that you can refer back to and say, okay, these are my real actual values and he does match up with them. And so I should stop looking.
That's a good idea. That's great. Well, I definitely appreciate you joining my podcast. Again, this is out of my wheelhouse, but I had a great time talking. I feel like I've learned even more than I figured I would. But why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and you know, what you do and all that good stuff. Give your pitch.
Okay, sure. So my name is spelled Leila. And so all my, you know, if you spell that wrong, you might not find me. But on Twitter, I'm at Limitless Leila. And my website is Leila Thomasone with an E, no H, .com. So if you want to, my specialty is like a mentoring sort of relationship and working together for a couple months at a time. So if that sounds like something that you would benefit from, then let's talk and get together and figure out if we should work together. And please follow me on Twitter. More than Mary.
She is an excellent follow, but thank you for joining me, and hope maybe we can do this again soon.
Thanks so much. It was a great time.
The
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.